Moses, Laws and a Model of the Tabernacle, Part 6. We now get into a part of Exodus where God gives different laws to Israel. And we start in this lesson with God's law about the making of an altar to make sacrifices unto God. Exodus 20, verse 22 through 26. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Tell the children of Israel, you have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. You shall not make anything to compare to me. Gods of silver or gods of gold you shall not make for yourselves. An altar of earth you shall make for me, and you shall sacrifice on it your burnt offerings and your peace offerings, your sheep and your oxen. In every place where I declare my name, I will come to you, and I will bless you. And if you make for me an altar of stone, you shall not build it of hewn stone. Because if you use tools on it, you have profaned it. Nor shall you go up by steps to my altar, so that your nakedness may not be exposed." The stones used to build a stone altar had to be natural and could not be changed with any tools. You see, an altar was used to make sacrifices unto our Lord for our sin or for thanksgiving. There were burnt offerings of lambs or cattle for sins, grain offerings for thanksgiving for the harvest, trespass offerings, peace offerings, and general sin offerings. But though Israel has strict laws to obey about making offerings, yet they had to realize that what God wants more than anything else is the offering of a contrite and humble spirit. The Lord wanted their hearts, their thankfulness, their worship, their love, and their obedience. And so, that is what our Heavenly Father also hopes to receive from us. I have to think now of some words the prophet Micah spoke in Micah 6, verse 6 through 8. Here it is. "With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the Most High God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn son for my transgressions, the fruit of my body for the sins of my soul?" God has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Questions to discuss. Can we please God by making an altar unto him that looks beautiful? Or could it be that God does not want us to be distracted from our sins by making his altar look beautiful while it is used to atone for our ugly sins. With what kind of sacrifice can we best please God? Memorize this Micah scripture and its place in God's Word, Micah 6, verse 6. Here is a law about servants. If you buy a Hebrew servant, he shall serve you 6 years, and in the seventh year he shall go out free and pay nothing. Then follows a lot of detail I skip here, but you can find it in Exodus 21, verse 1. Then there are laws concerning violence. He who strikes a man so that he dies shall surely be put to death. However, if he did not lie in wait, but God delivered him into his hand, then I will appoint for you a place where he may flee. But if a man acts with premeditation against his neighbor to kill him by treachery, you shall take him from my altar so that he may die. He who strikes his father or mother shall surely be put to death. He who kidnaps a man and sells him, or if he is found in his hand, shall surely be put to death. He who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. For more details, read Exodus 21, verse 12. And then there are animal control laws, starting in verse 28. If an ox gores a man or a woman to death, then the ox shall surely be stoned, and its flesh shall not be eaten. But the owner of the ox shall be acquitted. But if the ox tended or was known to thrust with its horns in times past, and it has been made known to the owner, and he has not kept the ox confined so that it has killed that man or woman, the ox shall be stoned, and its owner also shall be put to death. For more on this subject, go to verse 28. Then there are laws for responsibility for people's property, starting at chapter 22, verse 1. If a man steals an ox or a sheep and slaughters it or sells it, he shall restore 5 oxen for 1 ox and 4 sheep for 1 sheep. If the thief is found breaking in and he is struck so that he dies, there shall be no guilt for his bloodshed. If this happens during daylight, there shall be guilt for his bloodshed. I skip here a portion. And then it goes on, if a man lets his animal loose and causes a field or a vineyard to be grazed and it feeds in another man's field, he shall make restitution from the best of his own field and the best of his own vineyard. I skip now to chapter 22, verse 6. If fire breaks out and catches in thorns, so that stacked grain, standing grain, or an entire field is consumed, he who kindled the fire shall surely make restitution. If If a man delivers to his neighbor money or articles to keep, and that is stolen out of that man's house, if the thief is found, he shall pay double. If the thief is not found, then the master of the house shall be brought to the judges to see whether he has put his hand onto his neighbor's goods. I now skip to verse 16, where God speaks about moral and ceremonial principles. If a man entices a virgin who is not betrothed and lies with her, he shall surely pay the bride price for her to be his wife. If her father utterly refuses to give her to him, he shall pay money according to the bride price of virgins. You shall not permit a sorceress to live. Whoever lies with an animal shall surely be put to death. He who sacrifices to any god, except to the Lord only, shall be utterly destroyed. You shall not mistreat a stranger or oppress him, because you were strangers in the land of Egypt. You shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. If you afflict them in any way, and they cry at all to me, I will surely hear their cry, and my wrath will be kindled, and I will kill you with the sword. Your wives shall be widows, and your children fatherless. If you lend money to any of my people who are poor among you, you shall not be like a moneylender to him. You shall not charge him any interest. If you ever take your neighbor's garment as a pledge, you shall return it to him before the sun goes down. That is his only covering. It's his garment for his skin. What will he sleep in? And it will be that when he cries to me, I will hear him, because I am gracious. You shall not revile God, nor curse a ruler of your people. You shall not delay to offer the first of your ripe produce and of your juices. The firstborn of your sons you shall give to me. Likewise, you shall do with your oxen and your sheep. The animal shall be with its mother 7 days, and on the eighth day you shall give it to me. You shall be holy men to me. You shall not eat meat torn by beasts in the field. You shall throw it to the dogs. In chapter 23, verse 1, God speaks to Moses about justice for everyone. You shall not circulate a false report. Do not put your hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. You shall not follow a crowd to do evil. Nor shall you testify in a dispute to pervert justice. You shall not show partiality to a poor man in his dispute. If you meet your enemy's ox or his donkey going astray, you shall surely bring it back to him again. If you see the donkey of one who hates you lying under its burden, and you would refrain from helping that donkey, you shall surely help him with it. You shall not pervert the judgment of your poor in his dispute. Keep yourself far from a false matter. Do not kill the innocent and the righteous, because I will not justify the wicked. You shall take no bribe, because a bribe blinds the discerning and perverts the words of the righteous. Also, you shall not oppress a stranger, for you know the heart of a stranger, because you were strangers in the land of Egypt. Items to discuss. I have seen in Africa so many of the biblical laws God gave through Moses working very well in communities. Yet there are also some violations of laws mentioned in this part of Exodus. I name here now some of these laws again and ask that you discuss them. How do you handle people who killed someone by accident, and how do you treat them if they murdered premeditated, if they murdered willfully by design? What do you feel about laws that require restitution for damage done to land or property by cows and goats? What about an animal killing a fellow man? Should the owner be punished? What about fire damage to someone's field or property because of people doing slash burning? God does not allow a sorceress to live. What do you think that means for witch doctors? Is helping the animal of someone you don't like not a way of showing love to your neighbor? But is it not also showing love to an animal that is part of God's creation? Doesn't this show that God also loves animals? Is there any other law mentioned here that you would like to discuss now? In Exodus 23, verse 10, God speaks about keeping the seventh year and the Sabbath day, the seventh day of the week. 6 years you shall sow your land and gather in its produce, but in the seventh year you shall let it rest and lie fallow, so that the poor of your people may eat, and what they leave, the beasts of the field may eat. In the same way, you shall do with your vineyard and your olive grove. Six days you shall do your work, and on the seventh day you shall rest, so that your ox and your donkey may rest also, and the son of your female servant and the stranger may be refreshed. And in all that I have said to you, be careful and make no mention of the name of other gods, nor let it be heard from your mouth. Then there are three yearly feasts to be kept. We start reading in Exodus 23, verse 14. 3 times you shall keep a feast for me in the year. You shall keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread. You shall eat unleavened bread only for 7 days, as I commanded you, at the time appointed in the month of Abib, because in it you came out of Egypt. No one shall appear before me who has not eaten. Then there is the feast of harvest, the first fruits of your labor, which you have sown in the field. And the feast of ingathering at the end of the year, when you have gathered in the fruits of your labors from the field. 3 times in the year all your males shall appear before the Lord. Questions to discuss. Is it not a big sacrifice to God to leave a field unused for a whole year? Is this not a real opportunity, however, to show your love to God and learn to trust and obey Him? Is eating unleavened bread to remember Egypt and to honor God not also His way of protecting us as we obey Him? The leaven in bread in time can become bad and affect our health. Is He not a special God who protects us as we obey Him? Do you realize that as we bring the first fruits of our fields to God, as well as part of our final harvest of the year, we have an opportunity to give to Him? Is that not a way of showing Him that we love Him? Is it possible that the amount of love we have for God can be measured by the amount we give to Him? Is it not true that the more we give Him and others, the more love will grow in our hearts and the closer we will come to our Heavenly Father? Today there is no longer a temple of God to bring our gifts to. That is because Jesus has redeemed us already and has fulfilled the Old Testament laws. That does not make these laws obsolete, but they are now our teacher instead of our taskmaster. We have now more freedom if we have received the Holy Spirit to guide us in all truth. So, where could we bring our love offerings to God today? To widows and orphans? In Exodus 23, verse 20, God talks to Moses about His plans for Israel as they travel on toward Canaan. And He makes many beautiful covenantal promises, showing His great care for Israel. See, I send an angel before you to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Do not provoke him, for he will not pardon your transgressions, because my name is in him. But if you indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries, because my angel will go before you and bring you into the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. You shall not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do according to their works. but you shall utterly overthrow them and completely break down their sacred pillars. So you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water. And I will take sickness away from the midst of you. No one shall suffer miscarriage or be barren in your land. I will fulfill the number of your days. I will send my fear before you. I will cause confusion among all the people to whom you come, and will make all your enemies turn their backs to you. And I will send hornets before you, which shall drive out the Hivites, the Canaanites, and the Hittites from before you. I will not drive them out from before you in 1 year. Otherwise the land would become desolate, and the beasts of the field would become too many for you. Little by little I will drive them out from before you, until you have increased, and you inherit the entire land. And I will set your bounds from the Red Sea to the sea, Philistia, and from the desert to the river, because I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and you shall drive them out before you. You shall make no covenant with them or with their gods. They shall not dwell in your land, or they might make you to sin against me. For if you serve their gods, it will surely be a snare to you. Questions to discuss. The Lord their God will bless their bread and water, take sickness away from their midst. There will be no miscarriages or barrenness, and a full long life. Do you realize how our God is entirely focused on loving his people and offers the best of protection and blessings to them, if they will just honor and obey him? Can you talk about that a little while? We now continue in Exodus 24, verse 1. Now the Lord said to Moses, "Come up to the Lord, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship from afar. And Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but the elders shall not come near, nor shall the people go up with him." So Moses told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice, "All the words the Lord has spoken, we will do." And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord. Early in the day, he got up and built an altar at the foot of the mountain. 12 pillars he put up, according to the 12 tribes of Israel. Then he sent young men of the children of Israel who offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen to the Lord. And Moses took half the blood and put it in basins, and half the blood he sprinkled on the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read to the people. And they said, "All that the Lord has said we will do, and be obedient." And Moses took the blood, sprinkled it on the people, and said, "This is the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you, according to all these words." Then Moses went up, also Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and they saw the God of Israel. And there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stone, and it was like the very heavens in its clarity. But God did not kill the nobles of Israel. So they saw God and ate and drank. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and be there, and I will give you tablets of stone and the law and the commandments which I have written, so that you may teach them." So Moses went with his assistant Joshua up the mountain of God. And he said to the elders, "Wait here for us until we come back to you. Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man has a problem, let him go to them." Then Moses went up into the mountain, and a cloud covered it. Now the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. And on the seventh day the Lord called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. The sight of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. So Moses went into the midst of the cloud and went up onto the mountain. And Moses was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. God gives Moses the 10 commandments on 2 tablets of stone, and he shows him all the details for a tabernacle Moses must build for God, so that God's presence may dwell among his people when they are encamped. And that tabernacle is set up. Here it is. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering. From everyone who gives it willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering. And this is the offering which you shall take from them: gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine linen, and goat's hair, ram skins dyed red, badger skins, and acacia wood, oil for the lights, and spices for the anointing oil, and for the sweet incense, onyx stones, and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate. And let them make me a sanctuary, so that I may dwell among them. According to all the pattern of the tabernacle and its furnishings that I show you, just so you shall make it." Questions to discuss. God wants Moses to take an offering from the children of Israel for the building of his tabernacle. But do you notice that the Lord only wants to receive free will gifts from the hearts of his people for his dwelling place? Does our Lord not also want our hearts to be freely given to him out of love for him in order to dwell in us today? Because are our hearts in the New Testament time after Jesus sacrificed for us not the same as what in the Old Testament days the tabernacle and the temple were for Israel? End of this lesson.